You know, in October of 2015, I gave a talk to the Monroe County Pro-Life Association, organization. I can't remember the suffix title. And in that talk, I told, and it was not very popular. I didn't get a standing ovation of any sort. In that talk, I told the gathered pro-lifers there that they had been hosed and that they had been sold a bill of goods back in the 1970s that, and in the early 80s, that basically put all of the pro-life eggs in the, we got to elect Republicans. And we got to do that because we got to pass pro-life laws and we got to nominate pro-life judges and we got to undo Roe. This is how the pro-life movement, which, now, you got to remember this, and most people won't. Most of you aren't even old enough or will have no memory whatsoever of what a Southern Democrat was. Was a Southern Democrat. Remember the term Reagan Democrats? I can't be the only person that remembers Reagan Democrats. What was a Reagan Democrat? A Reagan Democrat was a Republican today, and they were Democrats that were fairly conservative, and they lived in Southern states. That's the people they went after. Pat Robertson, and all the rest of the GOP neocon cabal knew that they had no shot at actual conservatives. And so this whole thing was basically made up and sewn out of whole cloth that if you were pro-life, vehemently pro-life, then you had to be vehemently pro-Republican. Why? Because the Republicans, you just wait and see, miniature, our kids are going to get in there and they're going to nominate judges that are going to overturn Roe. It's been 40-some-odd years, 48 years now. It's not going to be overturned. But this was the whole, I'm going to use a big fancy schmancy vaccine word now. This was the raison d'etre of your average Southern conservatives. And it applied to the Midwest and the some parts of the Pacific Northwest. You had to be pro-life because that made you pro-Republican. And you had to do those things. Why? You had to do those things so that... Reagan and then Bush and then Bush 43 and then Trump could appoint pro-life originalist judges to sit on the SCOTUS and overturn Roe. Well, that raison d'etre and that dream died yesterday. It's over. If there was any hope that remained, it was killed yesterday. Now, maybe some people will go like, you gotta wait until the Mississippi decision comes out. AC Bacon, get in there, go do it for us, USA. You wait and see, right? Show of hands in the chat room. How many of you believe that the notorious ACB, Brett Kavanaugh, and the Gorsuch that stole Christmas are going to vote and side with Thomas and Alito for a 5-4 decision in favor of 26 states, including my Louisiana, and the originating case, a heartbeat capable bill for the outlaw abortions in Mississippi. That's why so many other states have joined, because they have similar laws. Show of hands or thumbs. Thumbs up or thumbs down. Is the Trump triple terror threat going to be with Thomas and Alito or again him? Now, remember, it only takes one of them to bail. It only takes one of them to bail. Roberts will be with Sotomayor and Kagan and Breyer almost, that's 100%. You wouldn't be able to get 30 cents on a dollar wager in Vegas on Roberts flipping. So the triple terror Trump picks, it's all in their hands now. Does anyone believe, I see a bunch of thumbs down, it's so typical, 48 people in the chat room, 4 voted. We have better voter turnout for dog catcher elections. In any event, it's very unlikely that those three are going to now break precedent and are going to vote with Thomas and Alito. What is the purpose then? Wait, here, I'll give you one even better. What would the purpose be for having Trump back in the White House in case Breyer or Sotomayor or Kagan decides to call it quits? It's far more likely that Thomas or Alito would quit and would just be replaced by a Trump appointee. Based on what we know now, that would be an unmitigated disaster. You wouldn't just have Roe being the law of the land. You'd have Northam's law, murdering the child with infanticide after it escapes the womb, as the law of the land. So what are we going to do about it? This is an even better question. What are, quote, conservative Republicans, close quote? How are you going to get anyone to believe you in 2024 when you say that Ron DeSantis is going to get in there or whoever, and he's going to be our man on the street. He's going to get in there and nominate them judges, and we're going to... Who would believe this now? As a matter of fact, the damage that's being done right now, now that the NCAA and its Title IX perversion is now basically setting the law in all 50 states, and it doesn't seem to be anything that can be done about it. If you try and take any of these perverts and these creeps to court, you'll get ruled against, and now you can't appeal to the SCOTUS. The SCOTUS has said, hands off. Whatever the lower courts say is what we're going with. It's even worse than you guys in the chat room are saying. It's not the attorneys that are making laws. It's attorneys that work for the NCAA. So even in your state, now this is huge. How many states have now passed laws saying that boys pretending to be girls cannot participate in women's athletics? It's in the 20s now. I want to say it's 26 again. But many have actually passed the law. They're not talking about it. They've actually passed the acts. So, what is the refusal to hear the case from the Virginia School Board yesterday? And this was a simple principal's decision that, no, if you're a girl, you got to use the girls' room. Now, I think that the principal was trying to protect the child. I don't think he was being a bigot at all. I think he was going like, little girls and boys' locker room? Yeah, that's a dumb idea. I'm not going to go down in history as the principal that signed off on that. How about no? With the inaction yesterday, all you need is one angry, ugly boy pretending to be a woman with a tranny man glory hound seeking mother or father, a T-ball champion father, everybody gets a ring, to take this any school or any state to court. Let's say you win in a state court. You know what's going to happen? The aggrieved is then going to go, I'm going to appeal. I'm going to go to an appeals court. Do you know what the appellate court's going to say? Well, an appellate court's already ruled on this, and the Supreme Court wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. So I'm going to have to go with the plaintiff over the defendant, which is the state. So what are you going to do about it? You don't really have any choice, do you? You know, Eric Sammons has a piece out today, Crisis Magazine, where he asks that question. It's from yesterday. The political path for conservative Catholics. What is the political path? You know, I was in a little Twitter conversation yesterday. Did you people know that there was, I didn't know this. There was a meeting similar to the uponthesrocks.co Congress. And it happened in the first week in June. And Edward from the House of Habsburg actually showed up, and they kind of had a conversation similar to the one that we had at the uponthesrocks.co with some notable exceptions. Yeah, the guy that ran Pro Civitate Dei. This was the Future of Christianity Law and Politics Conference, and it was in Old Town Alexandria, June the 10th through 13th. Patrick Deneen was there, Sohrab Omari, who I don't think is a conservative, solidarist Catholic at all. C.C. Pecknold. Who else was there? There's some names I recognize. And I went, that doesn't look like a very august conservative bunch to me. In any event, at least they're talking about it. Sammons, the massive secular state looms like a forbidding shadow over the future of the Catholic Church. So his concern is Catholicism. I share the concern. But he offers two paths forward, integralism and libertarianism. Then at the end of his Ave, he offers another one, which he calls natural law libertarianism, in which you make laws according to natural law, and it's the state's job then to enforce or to defend those laws. It's an interesting read. The takeaway from all this to me is you can't hold the Republican Party together now over judgeships. This is just a lie. And by the way, these judges are not constrained by any moral precept whatsoever any longer. It's only their sacred precedent. It's precedent, 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 or it's non-confrontation. It's almost as though the SCOTUS is saying enough damage has been done to undo all of Christianity on this continent, and we're just gonna let it sit there and let it work its evil. That they don't need to add anything to it, even though they did add, in the Gorsuch opinion last year, the tranny mammy, the right of the tranny mammy. So what's the way out of this? Well, we're going to get very good guidance on that when and if they ever rule on the Mississippi case, which again, I think that they side with the plaintiff that's suing Mississippi to stop, which is Planned Parenthood, I think. Rather than wait around for that, though, people are going, secede, secede, secede. What, Maggie? Yeah, well, secession means then that, and I'm not saying secession isn't an option, but certainly it's constitutionally illegal And I think you'd be in a better position than you are today. But don't you think that the Biden regime knows all some of this? Don't you think the cabal knows this? Maybe this is what they want the states to do. Seems to me like this is all one ginormous trap here. Neither political party has anything to offer to anyone who is truly a traditionalist or a old school conservative of any construct. So what's left?